Welcome back to Via the Source, where you can get news about the entire NFL and, of course, the Miami Dolphins. Fins up, here's Steven, your host.
What's up, guys? Today's date is August 18th. I'm Steve Amasso, and as always, you're listening to Via the Source. Now, today's episode is going to be focused on the Dolphins and their game against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Tomorrow's episode will be covering the games from across the NFL, but today's episode is going to be a Dolphins-focused one, so keep that in mind. So, to start it off, the Dolphins ended up losing the game against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers by a score of 16-14. It was a very close game, one that appeared to be won by the Dolphins until a very last-minute win by the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. The Dolphins' defense kind of unraveled a little bit. But also, another important note, this game was pretty rainy. It didn't appear like that on the TV, but it was coming down, and that caused the ball to be a little bit slippery. Now, Dolphin fans, I don't know if you remember, but there was a game a while back, I believe it was against the Arizona Cardinals, where it was coming down, but you couldn't really tell on the TV. There was one pass where Ryan Tannehill, he tried to throw it, and it kind of slipped from his hands, and on TV, he just looked ridiculous. But us Dolphin fans, we knew that it was coming down hard. It started getting shared around the league. Oh, look at Tannehill this. But again, just know that when it rains, sometimes you can't really tell how much of an effect it's having just by watching it on the television. Now, another thing to note, there were a ton of injuries or players who weren't playing in this game for the Dolphins. Among those is Kenyon Drake, Devontae Parker, Albert Wilson, Jakeem Grant, Kiko Alonso, Rashad Jones, TJ McDonald, Raekwon McMillan. There are just a ton of players that did not play in this game. Now, to start off this episode, of course, I guess we're going to have to go over the main headline, and that's Josh Rosen getting the start. And I was looking forward to, in this game, seeing if Josh Rosen could make a very significant leap to getting this starting role. Because so far, he's been kind of chipping away, slowly progressing to kind of getting to this level where it could go either way. So I really wanted to see Josh Rosen just kind of explode off and really solidify his role as a starter on this team. Well, I wouldn't say that happened. Josh Rosen looked solid, and that's about as far as I would go when I describe how he did, how he performed. I know a lot of people on Twitter are saying that he had some impressive performance or that it was extraordinary or they're really hyping it up. Now, I'm a big Josh Rosen fan. I was one of the guys that was banging on the gates, you know, bring Josh Rosen to Miami. But even then, I'm still not willing to say that this was anything more than just a solid performance at best, because there were some bad moments. His stat line wasn't incredible. He finished 10-for-18, 102 yards, 0 touchdowns, 0 interceptions. That needs to be discussed a little bit, because there were a lot of factors that were kind of out of his control that led to him playing probably worse than he should have been. The first, most glaring, huge issue is the offensive line. The offensive line is really bad. I mean, I tweeted during the game that it's criminal to put anyone behind this offensive line, because there are just so many holes. It's so porous. You kind of feel bad for the guy coming from Arizona, the worst offensive line in the league, and now he comes here to the Miami Dolphins, which is likely going to be, if not the worst, at least one of the worst offensive lines in the NFL this upcoming season. So this, I imagine, is going to hurt any sort of progression for Josh Rosen. And I understand why people said this was, you know, a good performance, because he was really dealing with a bad situation, kind of like how he was before. But even then, there were some mistakes that fell on him, and those are some of the ones that I want to discuss a little bit. The first one I want to discuss was, of course, a touchdown pass, or what would have been a touchdown pass, to Isaiah Ford. He threw it way too low. People were debating whether it fell on Isaiah Ford or it fell on Josh Rosen. I don't see any way you can spin that as to it falling on Isaiah Ford. Again, it was a really rainy day. Maybe he couldn't get a good grip on it, but it was definitely thrown way too low and way too far for Isaiah Ford to reach out and grab it. Another poor pass was the one to Bryce Butler. Now, Bryce Butler made this really nice catch where he leaped up very high to make it, but you know, that's a throw that I would like to see be put at his chest. That's one that I don't think there are many guys on the Dolphins team that could make that. If he makes that throw to Albert Wilson, I don't think that's a catch. If he makes it to Jakeem Grant can jump, but I don't think that's a catch. So, you know, maybe I'm nitpicking here, but those are the kind of throws that you would just like to see be a little bit more accurate. Another one that was, of course, the probably biggest, most glaring issue was Josh Rosen's throw to Preston Williams. He kind of tried to give him this one-on-one opportunity and just kind of lobbed it to him. He severely underthrew it. It should have definitely been picked off. The defender dropped it, and frankly, it should have been a pick six. That would have given him 2 weeks back-to-back with pick sixes. That is not a good thing to see. He got lucky with the drop there. So those are some of the things that he did poorly. Now again, Josh Rosen, he had factors he couldn't control. The offensive line was bad. And then on top of that, the receivers were dropping a ton of passes. Kenny Stills dropped one to begin the game. Preston Williams dropped several passes that were very key, very much drive killers. So there were a lot of things that were out of Josh Rosen's hands, and he still was able to do very good things as well. So some of the good things I saw in this game from Josh Rosen was first this pass that he made to the tight end where he rolled out to the left, avoided serious pressure. I mean, that pressure was there. He really put his head down, kind of observed where to go. First found his way to evade the pressure, and then on the run and made a nice little dime of a throw to the tight end for like a 20-some yard gain, and it was placed wonderfully. That was a great play by Josh Rosen, really making something out of nothing. And then there were a ton of plays where the pressure was there, but he was staying composed. And I would say that that's probably maybe even the most impressive part of this game, because the pressure was there nearly every time, but he was able to stay composed on a lot of these, do some nice little check down passes. He wasn't trying to do too much. And I think that's really where he shined. He looked composed, even though it was a bad situation, pretty consistently with his Miami Dolphins offensive line. So again, I would think it was a solid performance from Josh Rosen, but I don't think there was much to say that it was some incredible performance that he had. I just think at best, it was solid. Now we move on to this little mini competition we have for the potential third running back spot. And it appeared to be between Myles Gaskin and Mark Walton. And it ended up being a little three-headed battle here. I will talk about the last person in a bit, but Myles Gaskin and Mark Walton. Walton definitely had the opportunity to do something. All week leading up in practice, it said that he really made some sort of leap forward, that he was the guy. He was almost a lock to get this third running back spot. It was his to lose. Well, in this game, he did not flash any sort of that. And again, a ton of it falls on the offensive line. There's really not much for him to work with, but he just didn't really make any sort of case for himself. He finished the game with 5 carries for 8 yards. Myles Gaskin didn't do too much either, though. He had one little nice 10-yard carry where he was able to bounce around and find a little bit of an opening. But aside from that, again, there was nothing. 6 carries for 17 yards to end his day. Now, the third, I guess, more surprising to a lot of people, person in this running back competition was Patrick Laird. And if you remember last week, I said that I was very impressed with what I saw from Patrick Laird, that he was running with a little bit more oomph, that he kind of had this intensity, a little bit more explosiveness when he ran compared to what I saw from Mark Walton and Myles Gaskin. Well, he ended up being, at least to me, the offensive player for the game for the Miami Dolphins. He ended up finishing 7 carries for 51 yards. He also had 2 catches for 16 yards and a touchdown. So a lot of people are very hyped on what they've seen from Patrick Laird. This has really kind of thrust him into this position to get this third running back spot, at least according to Cameron Wolf. And honestly, I really, really like what I see from this guy. He has the ability to catch the ball. And we all know, you know, so much that the Patriots love having a running back who can catch the ball and be effective in the pass game. So he can do that very well. But what I like about him most is he is so north and south. He runs just straight downhill and he hits the hole with explosiveness. Now, when I was looking at Mark Walton, on the other hand, a lot, it was a lot of east and west, too much of that. And I know a lot of it falls on the fact that the offensive line was allowing people to come in there instantly. But Patrick Laird just hit the hole so hard, and he doesn't mess around. He'll just pick up. If it's only going to be 3 yards, he'll get you that. But he is going straight downhill. And I really like that from Patrick Laird. Now, we move on to some of the receivers. The first one, of course, was Preston Williams. Now, Preston Williams was the talk of the town after last week, probably the most popular guy in all of Miami after that first performance. And in this one, there's no other way to say it, he played pretty poorly. Again, he had several drops. He finished the game with only 1 catch for 7 yards. Definitely not what we were hoping to see. Now, all I think he had to do was have a solid performance to kind of make a push for having a real legitimate role in this Dolphins offense. I still think he's a lock to make the team just because of what he's shown, but this was definitely not what you want to see from Preston Williams if you think he is going to be this instant day one plug-in Devontae Parker replacement, you know, wide receiver one guy. So I really think this was kind of a reality check, and I know me too, I was very big on Preston Williams. I was shocked to see this, but he really just had a slip up and just had several big drops. Now, one play he had that really would have salvaged his performance and kept the hype level at a very all-time high. He made this very acrobatic catch where he tipped the ball along the sideline near the pylon and was able to catch it again and bring it back in for the touchdown. Unfortunately, though, literally by an inch, he stepped out of bounds, and that erased that play. Of course, if you step out of bounds, you can't come back and have any sort of impact in the play. So as for Preston Williams, I don't think this hurts his chance to make the team in any way. I still think he's going to make the final 53-man roster, but I do think this could have a little bit of an impact in his ability on day one regular season. I think if he would have balled out again, then he could have really been a Devontae Parker kind of replacement guy, especially with him being injured right now. But he didn't do that, so I still think as of right now, maybe the Dolphins are going to continue to try to ease him into this role. Now, another little mini competition is for this wide receiver number 6 spot. So we have to be looking at Isaiah Ford and Bryce Butler. Bryce Butler finished the game with 2 catches for 18 yards. And like I said, he had that one very nice leaping catch. And then Isaiah Ford finished the game with 2 catches for 20 yards. And as I said, for him, he should have had a touchdown catch, but Josh Rosen just threw it out of his reach. So these guys are battling for the wide receiver 6 spot. I do think in terms of production, Bryce Butler showed us and throughout his whole career last season as well that he is probably the more productive of the two right now, but I don't think it's by that wide of a margin. And Bryce Butler is 29. Isaiah Ford is only 23, 6-year age difference. I think Isaiah Ford has a little bit more that we could learn about him, whereas with Bryce Butler, you basically know what you're getting. You're not going to get anything new with Bryce Butler. At least with Isaiah Ford, there's a little bit more potential. So if I had to pick right now, I would think the Dolphins side with 23-year-old Isaiah Ford, especially since they're planning to the future. I think this guy still has potential and he could boom into something more. Whereas with Bryce Butler, you basically know what you're getting. And that's definitely not a bad thing. I do think Bryce Butler is probably, if the Dolphins were in a win now situation, probably the better of the two. But just in terms of looking towards the future, you kind of have to see what Isaiah Ford could become. So that's the way I'm looking at it as of now. Of course, we still have 2 games in the preseason to see if these guys can make a case for themselves. And now we move on to the other part of the quarterback competition, and that is Ryan Fitzpatrick. And Ryan Fitzpatrick, aside from this nice little truck he had on a Buccaneers defender, had a pretty bad performance. He was 3 for 9. 20 yards, and just wasn't able to get anything going again because the offensive line was so bad. The thing that I noticed a lot with Ryan Fitzpatrick was that his demeanor seemed very defeated, very angry. You could tell he didn't like the idea that he was being put as a backup in this third quarter. He was getting hit constantly. His chin strap was just all over his face because he was getting hit so much. It looked like Ryan Fitzpatrick was very defeated and pretty fed up. So that's not something that I would like to see, especially when you had Josh Rosen on the other hand, who, you know, was in a pretty bad situation himself too. But Josh Rosen at least looked very composed, a little bit more upbeat than what we saw with Ryan Fitzpatrick. Now, after the game, it must be said that Brian Flores said that Ryan Fitzpatrick will get the start in the upcoming game. Now, there was nothing in this game that could prove to me that Ryan Fitzpatrick somehow proved himself worthy of the start. I think this plays more into the fact that he's going to give both of these guys the opportunity to make a case for themselves. Last week was Josh Rosen's chance. I'm sure he'll get good playing time in the next game too, but now it's time to see what Ryan Fitzpatrick has. So I don't think Fitzpatrick being named the starter for next week is any implication of what will be happening in the regular season, but more just about seeing more of this competition to make a more educated choice for this Dolphins starting quarterback role. Now we move on to the defensive side of the ball, and this is where the Dolphins shine. They look terrific. Now again, could this have been in part due to the fact that it was so rainy? Yes, could it be due to the part that Mike Evans and Jameis Winston and Chris Godwin and Ronald Jones only played a drive? Yes, but still, the Dolphins offense, at least from a scheme perspective, looked a lot more lively than what we saw last year with Matt Burke. So to start it off, the star on this Dolphins defense, to me, I know a lot of people are very big on what Charles Harris was able to do, but still, for me, it's Jerome Baker. Jerome Baker looks like an absolute star at the linebacker position. He was able to get half a sack in this game. He should have had another sack, but he wasn't able to wrap up Jameis Winston. And frankly, on every single play, even the ones that don't show up on the stat sheet, you know, I think he is making an impact, and that is what's so important about Jerome Baker. He's filling in these gaps wonderfully. He is everywhere near the ball on every single play, and that is what I like to see from Jerome Baker. He is so quick off the edge, and I think a lot of his success is attributed to Brian Flores, again, being creative with how he's sending out these players and really playing to each of these guys' talents, especially with how we know a Jerome Baker, maybe an undersized player, but quick as hell, and that is how he is using Jerome Baker, so that was great to see. Now, the next guy we have to talk about is Charles Harris, somebody who is getting a lot of props after this game. He had 1.5 sacks in this game, and I think he looked, again, of course, really good in this game, but I'm going to be cautiously optimistic. I'm not going to go out and say that Charles Harris is going to revitalize his role and reach this round one ceiling, but I do think that he could salvage some of his career in this sort of defense. I think it fits him way better than what we had last year and for years past. So I do think Charles Harris will be more successful at the very least. He does have the potential to be someone who's very good, but I'm not going to go stamp him as some elite defensive lineman just yet. But I do think that he could be a very solid component in this Dolphins defense. Now, another guy, this is somebody who I'm very, very excited about, and that's Sam Igwavin, and he just showed out in this game. Sam Igwavin, somebody who played in the CFL, and before that, he was working at Foot Locker. Well, he came out and he balled in this game. Now, we heard all training camp that this guy was showing out, but I really just wanted to see it for myself. We didn't really get too big of a glimpse of it in the last game, but man, in this game, he looked like a freaking star. He was able to hit, I believe it was Cameron Brait, on this little bit of a, I think it was like a hook route just in the center of the field, and he stopped him dead in his tracks. Like, that guy did not move an inch. He absolutely laid him out. And then later on in the game, he was able to force a fumble, which gave the Dolphins a ball at around midfield. So again, this is a guy who plays, and when he plays, he's just all over the field as well. He's not as quick as Jerome Baker, but he is just flying all over the field. You can tell he's playing with intensity. I think he is somebody who could have a role on this Dolphins defense, not just as somebody who adds depth, but somebody who actually is maybe even a starter and could have some significant role moving forward in the future of this Dolphins defense. Now, to stick with the Dolphins defensive line, we go to rookie Christian Wilkins, who had a pretty good performance as well. He had a nice little sack and was making a good impact on the defensive line. I will say, though, that there was one play in particular. Ronald Jones busted off a pretty big run straight down the center. Him and Akeem Spence both got absolutely demolished. So I'm really hoping that Christian Wilkins is able to add an immediate band-aid kind of fix to the Dolphins' run stop issues, because if you listen to the podcast last year, that was the biggest theme for me defensively about the Miami Dolphins defense, because they played teams with a ton of talent in terms of passing and receiving, but they didn't even have to utilize talent because any team could just run the ball down this Dolphins defense throats. So I'm hoping Christian Wilkins is able to provide a sort of band-aid for this. I'm not really worried about his ability to get to the quarterback, because I do think that we're going to see a ton of that, but I'm just hoping that he could provide some sort of run stop ability, and I do think he will, and that's why I think he was such a good pick for the Miami Dolphins. Now, the last guy on this Dolphins defense that I want to talk about, or the last two people, are the defensive backs, and that's Eric Rowe, who I thought had a pretty good performance. One thing that you always hear with a defensive back is if you don't know what they're doing, if they're invisible, that means they're having a good day. You don't want to notice if a defensive back is out there, because that means that he's most likely getting roasted. Well, Eric Rowe was tasked with guarding Mike Evans for the first drive and Chris Godwin. So the fact that he was able to keep these guys and neutralize them is a pretty good sign. It kind of restores my faith in him a little bit, because he was someone that I was pretty hard on when I heard the Dolphins had signed him. So Eric Rowe, again, pretty good, was able to keep everything that was completed at least in front of him, and he looked pretty secure at making tackles, so I did like what I saw from Eric Rowe. Now, Nick Needham, on the other hand, still looked pretty bad, and I hate to say it, especially when it comes to one of these guys that are fighting for a job, but he looked pretty bad, and I don't see any scenario where he kind of makes the team. And this is a position that the Dolphins severely need help at, so him being so underwhelming is pretty disappointing, especially when he's been giving so many opportunities and he just can't really seem to do anything with it. That's really disappointing. So just to sum up this whole game entirely, the defensive side of the ball looks great. There looks to be a lot more creativity defensively, which is great because under Matt Burke, the defense looks so vanilla. The defense gave these receivers so much cushion. There was hardly any blitzes being implemented. Well, here, the Dolphins still, despite missing so many of their starters, looked great from a defensive standpoint. A lot of it was attributed to scheme, and a lot of it was attributed to some of these gems the Dolphins have, and those being Jerome Baker, Sam Aguavin, and Christian Wilkins. But all those guys looked really good. Now, for the Dolphins offense, that is a completely different story. The offensive line is just so bad that it's just impossible to evaluate basically the entire offense. It affects everything. We can't really evaluate Josh Rosen. We see that Josh Rosen looked composed. He looked better. But even then, I feel like this is not the Josh Rosen that we could see as his max potential just because the offensive line is so bad. Mark Walton, guys like Myles Gaskins and Patrick Laird, I feel like we're not even seeing those guys at their full potential because the offensive line is so bad. And then since the quarterbacks don't even have time to throw it most of the time, it's really affecting a lot of these receivers as well. So I'm really curious to see if the Dolphins are going to go into this regular season with this offensive line being this bad, because again, that shows to me that they're, you know, in a sense kind of tanking, or are they going to try to find something in the regular season to help boost it up a little bit? Because the way it stands right now, this is going to severely affect any sort of progression that you wish that Josh Rosen could have. I mean, in this state, I don't see how he is able to take that next step forward. And that doesn't even go to just him. But if you have any hopes that Kenyon Drake could become this superstar RB1, then it's going to be incredibly hard for him to do it behind this offensive line. If you had dreams of Kalen Ballage becoming this potential RB1 guy that fantasy experts are really hype about, I don't see that happening. And if you want Preston Williams to become this superstar wide receiver, if he doesn't even have time to do his route down the field because he's the quarterback's getting sacked, it's going to affect everything if the Dolphins' offensive line remains this bad. So again, that's how I'm going to end this episode. I would love to hear what you guys think. As always, you can follow me on Twitter. That is at Shady Steven. If you want to follow the podcast, that is at Via The Source. Please subscribe, guys. It would mean a lot. And I do have something very interesting planned. So if you haven't followed at Via The Source yet, make sure to follow it. I promise it's something that's very interesting. And as always, feel free to share your thoughts and opinions if you want to discuss anything. And if you want to ask any questions that you would like for me to cover in the podcast, as I said, I do discuss more than just the Dolphins. I discuss the entire NFL, as I will in tomorrow's episode. So if you want me to answer some questions, again, feel free to send them. I would love to discuss them with you guys. And that is just about how I'm going to wrap it up. As always, guys, it's a pleasure to be your host. Until next time, I'm Steven Masso, and this was Via The Source.